devil can't be a father like I should be. I can't be a good leader. When I had my construction company, many times I couldn't even be a good boss. The truth is, if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God living on the inside, I'd be in a mess. And if you're saved in here this evening, you would too. I want to say that it's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ living on the inside that gets the job done. We look at the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we wonder, how come it seems like we're losing ground in this country? It seems like America's out of control. It seems like the church has failed. And really the truth is, it's not just the church in general that has failed to get the gospel around the world. It's me that has failed to get the gospel around the world. It's me as a Christian. I take it right down to where the problem is. It's me. And I want to say this because what God has called us to do is so far beyond our power. You look at what God's told us to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go to our Jerusalem. I'm from a small town called the town of Waverly, Virginia. And that's just a couple thousand at the most, maybe 1,500 people in Waverly. And I could reach Waverly in probably 6 months, reach everybody with the gospel at least once. And my county is not very big, and I could easily reach my entire county in the power of my flesh in probably a year. But then I look at my state, which is getting closer to my Samaria, if you will. The state of Virginia, there's several million people in the state of Virginia. And I have to look at that, and I start getting to where I realize I can't do that. And then into the uttermost part of the world, that's America and the rest of the world. And I have to realize, Lord, I can't do this. It's beyond my power. And then I realize, I look at what God's called me to do in Ghana. And you see, in Ghana, what I'm facing in Ghana is that you saw what they consider a religious worship service and what they believe church is, what they believe Christianity is. And I'm dealing with, I guess, what some call strange fire. It is a mixture of the Pentecostal charismatic movement and Satanism, is what it is. And I realize, Lord, how am I supposed to reach these people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ when, Lord, what they think they've got is Christianity? Can I take the truth of the Word of God and place it in their heart? Can I make them understand that Jesus Christ loves them, that what they have is not going to get them to heaven? They believe that keeping the commandments, or they've gotten to where they believe if I worship and dance up and down and roll around in the floors and all that stuff, I'm going to heaven. They think if I have that experience, which is all sensual and devilish, they think I must be right with God. I'm going to go to heaven. They think that their version of the speaking in tongues that's an idol to them is a sign that they've got some contact with God. I said, Lord, how am I going to show them? How can I make them see? And the truth is, John Launderville can't. But I know who can. It's the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. It's the Holy Spirit of God who wants to make me into the image of Christ, who can reach them with the gospel. Our responsibility is to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our responsibility is to live for the Lord in front of them. And be that, let Christ be seen in us. I was praying about what to preach on. I ask you to pray for us. We're about 73. We are 73%. Our goal is to be leaving in the end of May. And I'll probably myself be leaving out the end of March to go over and get the paperwork done for me to set up the ministry over there and to get the paperwork done and try to get housing. We're going to the city of Tarkwa. I've done some research and talked to other missionaries that were there since the 1960s, and no one's ever been there. So we're going to an area that has got everything you can think of, every denomination. They're all doing the same thing. They're all doing that dancing around and that false gospel and that strange fire. They're all doing it. Even Catholics and Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses are all doing it because it attracts people. But we're going to a place that no one's ever been. And I ask you to pray for us that we'll yield ourselves to Christ and let God use us as only He can do. And then, like I said, 73%. And then also pray that the Lord will allow us to get the money for transition over there as well. But I was thinking about what to preach. Turn over to the Gospel of John in chapter 14. The Gospel of John chapter 14, we'll begin in verse 1 and read down through verse 12. And I want to look at a couple things here, and we'll preach what the Lord's laid upon our heart. Gospel of John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In verse 7, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Let's go to God in a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. Lord, a vessel that's unable to preach the Word of God. Lord, no talents, no abilities. But Lord, we've got you. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you fill us with your power and give us that which you need to be said, that Christ may be glorified. Lord, that we realize, Lord, that you and you alone in us can get the job done. We'll let you do it. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I was looking at this passage of Scripture, and I saw several things in this passage of Scripture. One of the things that was a great joy to me is to realize that, contrary to what some people think, Paul the Apostle, it doesn't say anything different than the Lord Jesus Christ. Contrary to what some people think, the Word of God doesn't need to be chopped up into a bunch of little itsy-bitsy pieces and start setting aside things that don't belong to me and things that apply to everyone else. And it's a joy to realize that Jesus Christ, what He said, is found out to be true. And I believe what Jesus is trying to show us, especially in 14, 15, 16, and 17, is that our life and our ministry as a believer really is very, very much like His. I would say that it's almost, there's a parallel between our ministry and our life as a believer and the way he lived his life and his and held his ministry. And we see, and Paul said that Jesus did the reconciling us unto God. And then we've been given that ministry of reconciliation. You know what God wants to do with us as believers? He wants us to realize that we must be crucified with Christ. And then he wants us to be crucified with Christ. And nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And you know what Jesus Christ wants out of us? He wants a vessel. He wants a vessel that realizes that only he can do the job through us. He wants a vessel that is yielded completely to him so that he can live his life and continue that ministry of reaching lost sinners around the world with the precious gospel that can change their life. And that's what God wants out of us. He wants a vessel. But I see that Jesus Christ, and Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Peter said about following in the steps. Jesus is our example that we should follow in his steps. And I see here a few things in this passage. I see in verse 6, I see our message of salvation. We preach the same message that Jesus said right here. We preach Christ, friends. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to have your sins forgiven. Jesus is the only way to have victory in the life as a believer. And we preach Christ. He's the way. The way to heaven. The way of happiness. The way to forgiveness. He's the truth. He's the truth that if you know the truth, he shall set you free. He's the life. And over in chapter 10 of the Gospel of John, turn over there to chapter 10 of Gospel of John. We find out that Jesus said a few things about this. In verse 10, he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I think of this here for the lost man. This thief, I believe it is Satan himself. Mankind in his lost estate doesn't realize that Satan just wants to steal everything they've got. They don't realize that Satan just wants to kill them and Satan just wants to see them die in their sins and go to hell. Mankind in his north, he can't see that. In his lost estate. But look what Jesus said. He said, I'm come that they might have life. And they might then that they might have it more abundantly. Then in verse 28 he says, I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. So we preach the message that Jesus says right here. This is the message of Christ that he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we preach Christ. We preach him crucified, buried, risen. We preach him coming again, friends. It's the only way. But then I notice also down here in verse 9, I see something else. I see our manifestation of Christ. So we've got the message of Christ. We're preaching the message of the gospel of salvation. We manifest Christ to the lost world around us. I want you to see this principle here. We see that the Father, look at verse 10. Actually, look at verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Jesus Christ manifested the Father. He revealed the Father to the world. He shows us. He said, you've seen me. You've seen the Father. And I want to say that we reveal Christ. We reveal Christ to a lost and dying world. And I would have to say that what's missing in missions in my own life many times over is not that the message isn't there. We're not seeing Christ. We're not seeing Christ. There's a big thing that you, if you study this out, and turn over, I like patterns. I preach a lot on patterns as I see them, as I hear it in the Word of God, and I read and I see patterns. Turn over to Luke. chapter, I believe it's chapter 1. Let me see if I can find it here. It might be chapter 2. It's chapter 2, verse 29 and verse 30. We see Simeon. And I want you to see there's something that Paul mentions also. But we see here the connection of hearing the Word of God and seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this here. It says, we know Simeon, he was a man, a devout man. He knew that Christ was coming. He knew that the Messiah was coming, and the Holy Spirit revealed this to him. And he went down the temple, I believe probably as he usually did. But and look at verse 29, Lord, and after he sees Jesus, he tells the Lord this message. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. So he's heard the word of God. He's heard the message of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at this here. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I wonder how many people that I've shared the gospel with, that they've heard the message, but they're still waiting to see the salvation of Christ in my life. I wonder how many people are just, they're just waiting around to see the proof that what I've said is real. I wonder how many people are still waiting to see Christ in me. There's a principle here of hearing and seeing Christ. I want you to look at another instance of this, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We know this is the right, the area I'm looking at here is verse 27. But with the story here would be the road to Emmaus. And two disciples are walking along in verse 19. And Jesus comes walking up right behind them. And he hears them talking to each other. And he said unto them in verse 19, what things? They were talking about the fact that Jesus had died. And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and in word. Jesus didn't just preach the word, he lived it. It was revealed. He revealed it by what he did in his life. It showed Christ was what it showed, it was proof, if you will, of all that he said. Now look at down in verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them, these two disciples, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So here they are. They're getting the word of God from Jesus Christ, where he's describing himself, showing himself in the word of God, the message of the gospel, if you will. Look at verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. They saw him. There's a connection, friend, between knowing, or between hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing the gospel. The Spirit of God in dealing with a lost person. Over in John chapter 16, we see this principle. The threefold work of conviction in which the Holy Spirit will draw a person unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7 down through 11. He says, nevertheless, I tell you, speaking of the Spirit of God, it is expedient for you that I go away. Jesus is saying he's got to go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now look at this. This is how he deals with the lost person. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. That's speaking of the word conviction there, reprove. And of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. So the first thing that the Spirit of God shows a lost person is that their sin of unbelief. The fact that they won't believe on Jesus. Look at this, verse 10. But then he shows them the righteousness. I believe this is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice what he says here. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Well, how can he show the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ if Jesus isn't here physically? The life of the believer. They see the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ through the life of the believer. So that is God's use of the Christian. So when God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to a lost person, we've given them the message, they've heard the gospel, and the Holy Spirit starts to deal with their heart. They see that their unbelief, their sin of unbelief, they see they're a sinner, if you will. Then they are pointed by the Word of God and the Spirit of God to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's amazing how all of a sudden, We like to think coincidence, but there's no coincidences with God. God turns around and to that lost person and shows them a Christian that God's done put in their life for a reason. It's amazing how God puts us into the lives of lost people who need the gospel. It's amazing how God will lead us like this. And then God looks, we're to be seen as in the righteousness of Christ. Jesus Christ is to be seen in us. Then, of course, he takes them back to sin again of judgment because that the prince of this world is judged. So he shows them their sin again and that they deserve to die and go to hell without if they don't get saved. But we see that the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have got to see that in us. And I was thinking of the manifestation of Christ. Jesus saith, well, look at this question that Philip said. He said, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. I wonder if one of my family members, one of my children, one of my coworkers, or someone I know from being in business, or a friend, or even another church member, if they would ask me, will you show me Jesus? Look at verse 7. I wonder if I could say this. If he had known me, he should have known my Jesus. He revealed the Father, and our responsibility is to reveal him to the world through our lives. I wonder if we could say this in verse 9. Have I been so long time with you? Have I been around you so long? And yet hast thou not known me? In other words, you know me, you know my life. Can I say this statement? He that's seen me has seen Jesus. Can I say that? That's a question I have to be honest. I can't say that. Many times in my life, I can't say they've seen me, they've seen Jesus. A lot of times in my life, if the truth is, they've seen John Launderville. A lot of times they've seen me in the flesh. A lot of times they see me not being used of God like I should be. I wonder how many people have seen me, and I wonder if they've seen Christ. Look at verse 10. Not only do I see the message of salvation, I see the manifestation of Christ, revealing Christ. But then in verse 10, I see something else. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Now, I'll go as far as this, to say this real quickly. And he also says this in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Now turn over to 15:4. I want to cover this real quick. 15 chapter 4, abide in me and I in you. Look how that's almost the exact same. The Father was in him and he was in the Father. We're in Christ and Christ is in us. The pattern is real similar. Look at this here. Back to verse 10 again. He says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. I see here our manner of speaking. I wonder, can I say this, that the words that I speak unto you, they're not my words, they're the words of Christ. I wonder, and I know the answer to this in my own soul, and I have to stand convicted before God, that many times is John Launderville running at the mouth. It's many times it's not the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times it's words that are coarse and hurtful to someone and critical and not seeing people in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times I can't say this, but I long to. I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. I want to pray that Lord, that don't let me speak what I think. Lord, I don't want to speak my opinions. God, I want to speak, thus saith the Lord. I want to speak what God has got to say to someone. As friend, I can tell you, it's not going to be hurtful. It's going to be the love of God, even though it may rub them the wrong way according to, with their sin, but it's still going to be in the love of God, and it's going to have a help for them. I wonder, look at this here. I see not only our manner of speaking, but I see here our method of serving. He says, He said, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Notice what he says. He doeth the works. If you studied out the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave the Father credit for everything. He gave the Father credit for the words that he spoke. He had no problem saying that the Father sent him. He had no problem that when he said that as the Father sent me, so send I you. He had no problem saying that the works that he did were not his. But the Father that was in him. And I want to say this is the same way it should be in our life as a believer. This is the way Paul saw it. Paul said that this the attitude Christ has here that we find, Christ had two motives, I believe, in his attitude towards it, the way he viewed it. It was not I, but the Father, if you will. He said, not my will, but the Father's be done. It was not him, it was the Father. And Paul was the same way. I already quoted one verse, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Turn over there. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. One of my favorite verses. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I long for this to be a reality in my life, every day of my life. He says, I am crucified with Christ. This is a declaration of reality. It's also a declaration of faith. Nevertheless, I live. Okay? Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul said that I may know him. Talking about Jesus. But then he said something in the power of the resurrection. That's not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the power of the resurrection living through my life. That's the power of the Spirit of God in manifesting Himself as Christ. Taking this body of death, if you will, this body of dry, dead bones, like in the book of Ezekiel, and in the power of the Spirit of God, taking a vessel that can't do anything on its own. The flesh is wicked, friends. And on its own, it's going to lead to sin and destruction. Paul made that very clear in the book of Romans in chapter 8. You know, I'm not going to say it without showing you. Turn over there. Romans chapter 8. Make a statement like they got to back it up. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Well, if you're saved, the Spirit of God dwells in you. So he's saying you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. That's a blessing. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if a person doesn't have the witness of the Spirit of God inside their heart, they're not saved. Look at this here. And if Christ be in you, he's in me. The body is dead because of sin. But look at this. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now look at this. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, that's the Holy Spirit. He's inside us from the dead, dwell in you. He dwells in us. We're saved. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You know what that's a picture of? That is a picture, if you will, a good illustration would be that valley of dead bones. A valley of dead bones, a valley full of bodies that can't do anything. But the power of the Spirit of God can quicken this body and cause it to live for Christ. This, the power of the Spirit of God on the inside, who manifests Himself as Christ, can take this body and calls me to be a witness. Jesus didn't say, you'll want to be one. He said, shall be. And He said, who would cause that? It was the Holy Spirit of God. And He's inside. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. This isn't the only not I that Paul said. Turn over to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So Paul is saying that it's Christ that liveth in him. It's Christ is bringing about sanctification in his life. It's Christ is making him in the image of Christ, of the Spirit of God. Look at this. Look at verse 10 of chapter 15, verse 10. Paul says this statement. Look at verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am meet, and that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. No one can deny that. Paul, he's talking about the other apostles. No one can deny this. God clearly makes this true in the Scriptures, that he did labor more abundantly. Plus, God would never let him lie in the Word of God. But look at this. But I labored more abundantly than they all. But notice what he says. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Does that sound like Christ? It does to me. It sounds just like what Christ said. You give credit to the Father for everything. And Paul's giving credit to the Holy Spirit of God and the grace of God. Which the Holy Spirit of God here, when he says the grace of God, he's speaking of the work in the Holy Spirit we don't deserve. I wonder, turn back over to John chapter 14. We'll be closing. I wonder if someone were to come to me and or to you, and in verse 5, as Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? I wonder if someone were to come to you or me and were to say, we don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there. We don't know how to get to heaven. Will you know the message to tell them? Will you know the truth of the Word of God to tell them? And then I wonder, in verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. I wonder how many people, if they were to come to me and say, show me what Jesus is like. I wonder if they were to come to you and ask you the same thing. Would we have to stammer and say, well, he's really like this, but don't use me as an example. I come from a family of 12, raised in a Christian home. The wrong gospel was preached, if you will. It was, you pray this prayer and you're saved. And out of 12 of all of us, only 5 of us are saved. And I've got one brother who says he's saved, but it's hard to tell. And I've witnessed to some of my family members. I've got one in mind who's dying of cancer right now. And the last time I went up to New York just about a week or so ago, because the Lord laid on my heart to go see him, my Uncle Fred, to try to speak to him about the gospel one more time. And of course, I got just a little bit of opportunity, and my aunt stopped me. She's a Catholic. She didn't want me to talk to him. But the time I had an opportunity, my brother was there many years ago. And as I was trying to witness to my Uncle Fred, he piped up and tried to agree. At the same time, he had a cigarette in his mouth and he made that statement. Oh, everything he's saying is true. But don't use me as an example. I believe it. Don't use me as an example. Friend, that don't work. It don't work. It sends a lot of people to hell. Sometimes it's not the message that we've got a problem with. Sometimes it's the fact that they can't see Jesus in my life. I just say that's the biggest problem. I think we've lost most of the generation today because they don't see Jesus in us. I think that's the reason. Let's go to God in a moment of prayer.